Starfire, written by Clantale, read by CC Rambles. This is a My Hero Academia genfic and is rated G. This was recorded for ITPE 2017 for Opal Song. Uraraka clenched the pencil in her hand and leaned forward over her desk. Ordinary school subjects bored almost everyone, but Uraraka was determined to learn something helpful. None of the teachers had gravity-related quirks or experience with them, so they couldn't give direct help to her. This was the situation with almost all the students. The teachers couldn't give specific advice to each quirk, so they guided everyone through overarching advice instead, such as how to dodge attacks and rescue people. The basics needed to be learned first as the foundation for controlling quirks, and it was up to each student to develop their own skill and proficiency specialized to their quirk. Physics, gravity. Uraraka could glean direct quirk help from physics. She tried her hardest and gave it her all when it appeared on their curriculum. When Aizawa assigned them their first homework assignment on physics, she locked herself in her room, worked, double-checked everything, and studied again. 2 days later, Aizawa returned everyone's homework after correcting them. He stopped at Uraraka's desk. "You didn't miss a single problem. Good job." He raised an eyebrow. "Impressive." "Thanks." Ida patted a hand on Uraraka's shoulder. "Congratulations." They exchanged smiles. Aizawa continued on to Tokoyami's desk and deposited his graded homework. "Is this your best? Try harder next time." Tokoyami shifted, but the one who truly deflated was Dark Shadow, wilting with a quiet, shrill noise. Aizawa crossed the room to stand in front. "It's obvious that most of you don't care at all about mundane school subjects like history and biology, but if you slack off here, no one will expect you to be competent in any heroics. It's not only important to show that you can handle something as rudimentary as schoolwork, but it develops your problem-solving skills, and something you learn might even be useful." "Learning English won't help with shit," Bakugo muttered. "I don't teach that, so I don't particularly care," Aizawa said with a glance at Bakugo. "Complain to present Mike." He dismissed the class and everyone hurried out to head to lunch. Ida and Midoriya joined Uraraka at a table. "It's still amazing to think that we got in here," Uraraka exclaimed in between bites of rice. "The novelty will wear off soon," Ida said, "not just with time, but with the amount of heavy hardship they'll put us through." Uraraka turned to ask Midoriya for his opinion, but she caught him opening and closing his fist, staring wistfully at his own hand. He hadn't spoken in a while. "Deku, are you all right?" Considering his blunders on the first day in the quirk apprehension tests, Uraraka knew his hands underwent lots of pain and stress. "Huh, I'm fine." He shook his head and picked up his chopsticks to eat. "How are you doing on the homework so far?" Uraraka asked him. "Fine, I guess," Midoriya shrugged. "What about you guys?" Ida pressed a finger onto the table surface. "I placed with a high score." "I think Aizawa said it loud enough for everyone to hear," Uraraka said, her head averting slightly and her mouth shifting to the side. "Embarrassed?" Midoriya asked. "Or prideful?" Ida quirked an eyebrow. "No, it's not like that. I just wish you didn't do that. It's embarrassing." Uraraka grimaced. "I don't want everyone to think that I'm showing off. We haven't all had the chance to talk yet. What if I do a terrible job next time?"
"There's no need to lose confidence in yourself," Ida said.
Uraraka wrapped her hand around her wrist and examined her own fist, imitating Midoriya. She couldn't pack nearly as much power as him into her fists, but they still housed the strength behind her quirk. That was the extent of it that she knew. She hadn't been allowed to play with her quirk extensively while growing up. They were given more freedom now at UA, and Uraraka intended to take advantage. Winning against Bakugo's team didn't influence Uraraka as much as her ultimate loss. Her strategy was cheap and weak. The fight weighed on her mind for the rest of the day. Ida had managed to theoretically win with very little fighting and effort. His plan guided Uraraka's thoughts into an experiment. She wanted to manipulate friction the way Ida had mopped the floor slick and clean. She had to hand it to him. She could mop a floor so clean even if she had hours to do it, and she had plenty of experience. Wealth didn't seem to spoil his family from hard work. Uraraka set her hands on a small box in her room. It was a plastic container filled with books, heavy enough to be a challenge to move without her quirk. She always just made everything weightless if she had to move it, but there might be a time when she couldn't do that.
She also couldn't make herself weightless, so she was going to try zero gravity on her own friction next. She tapped the side of the box with a light touch. She had developed some control over how much gravitational force she removed from objects, but she had never tried so little power before. She strained to feel for the precise amount to channel through her fingertips. The box levitated above the floor instead of sitting still. She kicked at it and sent it hurtling and bouncing off the wall. "Nothing," she groaned. "Why can't you just stay down? Go down." Uraraka placed her hands on top of the box and shoved down without activating her quirk again. The box crashed onto the floor, but as soon as she released it, her quirk's influence pulled it back into the air. She sat down on it with a forceful plop. "I have no idea how to remove friction anyway." She slapped her hands on the sides of the box and poured out zero gravity in a cathartic surge. The box twitched, but it didn't move. "I guess it weighs less than me." Uraraka crossed her legs and stared at the wall. Training. She needed more time training to exert any further control over her quirk. She repelled her frustration with a sigh and tried again a few more times, achieving the same result each time. Eventually she gave up and redirected her attention to her shoes. Her dream was to effortlessly float, fly. She didn't understand why it was so much harder to use zero gravity on herself than on anything else, but that didn't stop her from trying. When it came to the possibility of flight, she saw two theoretical options. She could use her quirk directly on herself, or she could apply it to an object under her feet that weighed more than her. Excluding herself, she could make any object weightless if it was under 3 tons, even if it was another person, so she definitely examined that option sometimes. Once, she briefly considered wearing incredibly heavy shoes and just forcing zero gravity onto them, but stumbling around in those shoes the rest of the time wouldn't be worth it. Uraraka slid her palm against the bottom of her shoes. It didn't have any more effect than just tapping it with a finger. Removing gravity from all of her clothing shaved off more weight from herself, so she did become slightly lighter, at a noticeable difference. Most people didn't realize what a difference clothing made to weight. Add snow clothes or a backpack, and it would become obvious. She rubbed her foot along the floor. Her foot felt light, but there was still friction from the floor, so she couldn't glide around with the same speed as sliding on ice. Making smooth shoes to remove resistance was out of the question, since she'd just slide all the time, so she gave up. Uraraka removed her shoes without deactivating zero gravity, and her shoes floated up into the air. She idly twirled her finger around one of them. Objects wouldn't float to her whim and travel in different directions. They were restricted to floating up and down, so the shoes couldn't spin by themselves. The only reason she could move in the air when she applied zero gravity to herself was because she usually jumped and rode that momentum. She flicked one of the shoes and it hovered in a wayward circle. "I wish I could make you move around in the air." In the end, she couldn't do much but confirm and develop what she already knew. Varying her quirk's power varied the force of gravity. It applied underwater too, something that had crossed her mind while looking at an equation of buoyant force. Remove all of the weight and an object floated, but remove only some of it and gravity partially decreased. This concept she could handle. Uraraka sat down in the grass. The sky sparkled with the faint scattered light of the stars, and the moon shone overhead, but the ground also supported stars of its own. Uraraka had a group of flashlights around her, all of them shining brightly. She tapped each one, and they floated up one by one, rising with the grace of an otherworldly force, ghostly and quiet. Ever since she was little, she enjoyed playing with these angles and numbers, sending any lighted object into orbit around her. Her parents quickly taught her not to use candles or anything related to fire, but anything bright and wireless was fair game. Flashlights were her safe favorite. She used to solicit her parents the suggestion of keeping everything flying when she had a birthday party, and that was shut down too. By the end of middle school, she rarely did it anymore, but recent events brought Uraraka back. Fighting for her life against villains at USJ outlined the huge gap between amateur high schoolers and pros. She needed to grow to defend herself. The whole ordeal had been harrowing and terrifying, and it left an impression as stable as an earthquake in her classmates. Uraraka watched the flashlights sway with the wind. Sending everything into the air like this could be a nice battle strategy, but the field had to be destroyed first before she could pull this off. She didn't have the strength or means to shatter the earth. If it was just a matter of objects, then she could levitate them up, drop them and break them, and then scatter them to set it up. She squinted up at the sky. "That's right. I've never tested how far up I can float something, or for how long. The danger in testing that right now was damaging the flashlights by dropping them when her strength ran out, so she didn't try it. She left heroics aside and watched her lights flash and spin. Far above them, a brief streak of light flew across the night sky, one shooting star. Uraraka marveled at the star's fire, flickering for such a short amount of time that it created its own measurement of transience. The flashlights suffered from her fragmented concentration, and they flickered as well. Uraraka also dreamed of shooting stars, sending rocks into the atmosphere and crashing them down. It was impossible to make her own shooting stars. That required huge rocks to withstand the atmosphere, large amounts of strength, and probably plenty of other factors. But that inspiration sounded like a touch of divinity. Only the imaginings of a god with their versatile powers could be capable of involving outer space. Uraraka dreamed of that. She dusted herself off and stood. Through her quirk's connection, the flashlights lowered with a soft, mist-like slowness, her power receding and fading. She gathered them and turned them off to return them inside. School resumed tomorrow. She couldn't afford to sleep late and attend class exhausted. Uraraka tied a small paperweight to a rope and hung it in the air from her hand. The paperweight was a grey cat, painted with various shades to compose patches of other colours. She bought it from a discount store, but its fragility didn't matter. She was only going to use it today. She tapped it and watched it float until it reached the end of the rope. Right away she released it, and it dropped and exerted its weight as the force of tension. There was no practical way to use this in the middle of a battle, unless she depended on Sero's tape, but it struck her as something else that could be potentially useful sometime. She tried to spin it horizontally, and when she let go to see if zero gravity could halt horizontal movement, the paperweight kept going. It collided with the wall and splintered into tiny little pieces. Her mum raised her voice. "Ochako, what's going on? I broke something, sorry." Her mum didn't say anything for a moment, but Uraraka could hear the sigh in between. "You should be more careful." "I will." Uraraka hurried to get a dustpan and sweep the remains into the trash. This was a very minor incident compared to the villain entanglement at USJ. Uraraka knew that her parents were still struggling to come to terms with the reality of professional heroics. She was too. Minor experiments with her quirk seemed like playing or fooling around with it now. She wished for the growth to put them at ease. Uraraka gathered her hands on the table and let out a deep breath. Even with Recovery Girl's treatment, she could barely bring herself to move after facing complete annihilation from Bakugo. Her body throbbed with dull, widespread pain all over her body. She could only describe it as dull, since it wasn't sharp or stabbing, but it still ached. The unforgiving metal folding chair didn't help. She rubbed her eyes and drifted into space for a few minutes, resting until she could move. Sometime later, she worked herself into energy and dragged herself to the stands. Ida and Suyu jolted at the sight of her injuries. "I'm fine," Uraraka said sleepily. "Recovery Girl couldn't heal everything, so she left some scratches and bruises." "Oh." She leaned forward and rested her elbows on her knees to watch the matches. Todoroki and Midoriya stood on the battlefield, waiting for the signal to start. "Your last move was impressive," Tokoyami said from beside Uraraka.
"Oh, thanks."
"Did you invent it on the spot?"
"No, I didn't."
Uraraka glanced over the stadium. Most of the consequences from her match were gone. The field attendants had tended to the stage during her retreat, and the exploded rock debris had been removed, but nicks in the ground and occasional small craters still remained. "It looked like the site of a miniature meteor shower," Ida said.
"A meteor shower?" Uraraka repeated.
"So how did you come up with it?" Suyu asked. "Did Midoriya or Ida help?"
"Nope, I just came up with it on my own. I was experimenting with my quirk at night and thought of it. Everyone's getting so creative and clever with their quirks. I need to catch up."
Suyu made a small ribbit to herself. Uraraka stared down at her fists. She was in plain gym clothes like everyone else, so the wristlets of her costume couldn't join her in the festival. They were bigger than she wanted, but light, and she was so used to them by now that she missed them a bit. They complemented her fists and framed them with a character that made her comfortable.
"The match is starting," Tokoyami said. Uraraka closed in on herself and chewed on her fingernails as Midoriya and Todoroki started throwing punches and streams of ice. Uraraka didn't envy Midoriya. She wished she could have won to stand on stage, show her parents, and move on beside Midoriya and Tokoyami to the last rounds of battle, but she didn't wish to specifically face Todoroki. That was something to fill her with relief.
"I won't lose next time," Uraraka murmured, clenching her fists for a moment and reinstating her resolve as she listened to the sounds of battle.
The end.